Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Support for today's episode comes from Form. The days of not knowing what to buy, where to get it, and how to use it are over. The Form collection minimizes guesswork and makes hair care simple by offering personal regimens specifically designed for individual hair needs. It's the first women's prestige hair care collection that's versatile, uncompromising, and as beautiful as you are. Go to formbeauty.com/gettinggrown to get 10% off and free shipping on your first purchase and a free Form mini when you spend over $50. Get personal with Form. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
Welcome back. Welcome back to, episode 35.
I don't know, but I'm looking at your face.
Oh, my God. Episode 35. Me and Jade are in the studio. We're actually in the same place, in the same state, in the same time zone.
She's mad glowy.
Girl, rest.
You got on your Fenty?
No.
What's that?
I don't remember.
I ain't got on nothing.
I just have on concealer.
That's and, concealer?
Oh, I'm lying. I did have a little bit
I'm
of
like, I'm seeing something shimmer. Is that
the
Jesus?
Black? No, it is. He's ever shining in my soul.
Yes, he is.
But the Black Radiance contour
That's
palette.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah. Everybody get you one for, I think it's about $8. You get your life. But yes, welcome back to Getting Grown, another episode where we talk about the tests, the trials, the twists, the toins of being an adult out here in 2017. I'm Kia, and that's Jade, and
hey. We
back like cook crap.
Let's do it.
So what's going on, sis? How was your week?
My week was busy, man. I was working. I was getting myself prepared for the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and ran to about 7 stores today to buy different things because I started shopping like an old lady.
Stressful.
Nah, you got to find the sale. So you go to where this is on sale, then you go to where this is on sale. By the time you do all that, you're tired. And so I figured out why I usually go to one store. But got all my Thanksgiving Day stuff, so now I can just prep for my life for the next 3 days.
Supermarket's about to be like the club here this week.
It's That's why I got it out the way.
Intense.
My house is about to be so popping.
Oh, my gosh.
How was your week?
My week was good. Another, series of busy days and deadlines and all of that. But we made it through. All is well. And, I'm happy to be here. I had a baby shower to go to. One of my good friends from high school is having twins.
Oh, shit.
Woo. Yeah, stressful. But, yeah.
She's eating a lot of yams.
Shut your mouth. Shout out to Pam and Stanley. Welcoming a boy and a girl here soon.
Hmm.
Pam and I went to high school together. And, I'm really happy for them.
Good. Congratulations. Yeah.
Congratulations to
blessing.
Pam and Stanley.
Sleep now.
Yes, right now. And Pam is like pregnancy goals because you can't even tell she's pregnant from the back.
With twins?
With twins, yo.
Like she's like Beyonce.
She's like out here. I'm just like, what are you doing? But
I'm jealous.
That's what's up.
I always look pregnant from the back.
Shut your mouth. You're irritating. So irritating.
How was your week?
I just told
you. Oh, you did? You went to a baby shower?
Would you get your life
together?
I'm just
a little high. Let's take out the trash.
Let's do that. Let us do that.
Let's take out the trash.
Because we're just chock full of trash already.
We are. Let's start off with some real trash.
All right. Where you want to start?
Jennifer Hudson and David Otundu.
Otunga.
Yes.
I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but I know it's not what you said.
I feel like we just said the same thing.
No.
I do.
It's not. So word on the street is that Jennifer Hudson has been cheating on her good fiance for just about 10 years. And for the full extent, the full duration of their relationship, she has been allegedly...
Creep.
Shout out to Luther Vandross. Mm-hmm.
Stolen yeah. from Stevie.
Okay. with a gospel artist by the name of Molly Music.
Yes, who I have listened to Molly Music.
I enjoy Molly. I'm a big fan.
I mean, he's very woke and
Molly's extremely talented.
Super.
Yeah. So apparently in more ways than one.
Ooh, that was messy. He's a good singer and a dick slinger.
Apologize. Forgive me. But yeah, I mean, apparently, just like Jenny from Forrest Gump, all Jennies is out here. Living
you can't sit. You can sit with me. You can
Jenny.
Sit
here. Jenny.
You can sit here if you want to.
Girl. So yeah, Jennifer Hudson out here. Just, and I mean, the way, okay, apparently, she like, when David confronted her about the infidelity, mm-hmm. Her response was to get like an order of protection and like move him out the house.
Yeah, which I
like.
I told you can't have my passcode.
I was like, that's real extreme.
That's super dramatic.
That's real extreme. That's it's like, I don't want to have a conversation about this. So get all of his things out of the house. He no longer lives here and he is not allowed to come within 50 feet of the property.
And I need the court to appoint this. Thank you.
Oh my God.
That's a lot, Jenny.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. And we don't know if it's true or not. Nobody said anything. It seems like quite plausible to me.
Why not?
Who am I?
Did it say that he had a violent?
I don't remember. Anybody said too much about him?
No, just her.
Yeah. It says here, the Shade Room just reported that Jennifer Hudson.
Our reliable news source.
Indeed. Jennifer Hudson just grabbed the kid and left town.
Like, well, no, it did say something about how he I guess he went out of town with the kid before, and that was one of the reasons why. It said
he
dipped out of the state with the son.
Okay, she claims that his behavior has been escalated to the point where she's in fear for her physical and emotional safety and that of her son. So I guess
that's a reason.
Well, I guess so. But she ain't said a word about whether or not Molly been doing the yamin with the jamin. But I just pray for all parties involved.
I pray for the baby.
I pray for all parties involved, and I hope that Jenny works it out. She's giving all Jennifers a bad name at this point.
Good thing my name's not Jennifer.
Good thing. And
excuse
shout out
me.
Yeah, if your name is Jennifer.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
I'm just spitting out my gum because I don't want nobody complaining that we eat on the show.
Yeah, we don't, by the way.
Nah, never. Never have we eaten
have
a single thing
eaten
on the
anything
show.
Anything on the show. But, you know, just to be safe.
I'm just a damage control ahead of time.
Indeed. So, in other news, P.D. Pablo about to get a reality show, and I might be in front of my television.
North Carolina, come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Raise it around your head. Feel like a helicopter.
P.D. Pablo. I'm just
Prime
excited.
Rat days. I'm hyped.
I'm excited.
I'm hyped.
Petey Pablo. You know what I'm talking about? My name is Petey Pablo. I'm just really excited. I just feel like that'll make for
That's
great
That's just a name I wasn't expecting to hear, but the joy that
I'm
I
just excited,
felt.
Man.
Yeah,
Freakily.
The only way it can get better is if, what's his name? Drama. Remember when Drama came back on Real Housewives of Atlanta? Mm-hmm. I was so happy. You don't remember Drama? Lil,
get on up, Okay, now I remember. Okay, I didn't know that was his name, but yeah. I do know that song.
If he got a reality show and I got P.D. Pablo, nigga, I am winning in life.
P.D. Pablo says that he just, you know, trying to get him a Nicole Murphy.
I know that's... I'm trying to... No, I'm not trying to be Nicole Murphy. She's a little hard for me, but...
Don't do her like that.
She's fine, though. She's fine. For who she, I'm not even built like that, so it's not gonna happen for me regardless.
Yeah, but I hope so. I don't know who was funding this. I don't know. It doesn't say what network,
it doesn't
say any of that, but I would be present, tuned in on
whoever's
a weekly basis.
Doing that, if you could also do a Project Pat reality show, Jade would greatly appreciate you.
I think I'll be here for that too. Y'all wanna talk about the AMAs right quick?
Let's do it.
AMA so white, first and foremost.
So white.
But shout out to Tracee Ellis Ross, who is the host.
One of my faves.
Indeed. And, you know, Tracee changed her clothes every time the camera wasn't like...
As she should. Her style is impeccable.
First of all, like most of the time you get three or four.
No.
The host will get three to four. But every time Tracee had a new... she's going to be on this side of the stage. I need a new outfit.
Her hashtag is the girl who likes to shop.
Listen, I'm here for it.
Stand in your mess.
I am present.
Stand in.
She looks stunning.
Always.
And I think she did a decent job.
Yeah, she did good.
The AMAs. The AMAs were pretty boring.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether or not, you know, that's because I'm old and I'm not abreast of the young people music.
No, I think it's just because they were really boring.
That might be it.
Yeah.
But can we just briefly talk about, did you watch?
A little bit.
Did you see the Whitney Houston tribute? Christina Aguilera got one run. She's like,
Nah, you got to growl, sis. I'm going to throw a little DMX in it.
I don't have time to be singing in the back of my throat, ruining myself.
Where my dogs at?
It's like Christina Aguilera and DMX did the tribute.
They did.
And it's like, you don't sing a song like I Have Nothing, which is known throughout the ages for Whitney's just resonant, clear, bell-like tone.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Right? And here come Christina. Share my life. Take me forward. Like, I just wish I could have seen my face the whole time. She was
irritated.
Under pitch immediately. And I'm not one of those, like, you know, I sing at the church, you know.
No,
I'm not
you
a singer.
Sing.
You
sing.
Know what I'm saying? I sing down to the church.
No, you a singer.
I do my part. I'm here to sing alto. Y'all know I'm not here to get a record deal or nothing. I'm here
You're
to
not
sing
a
my
what?
Part. And sing. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to sing alto,
That's
and
right.
I'm going to go home. But I will say that the Lord is always worthy of pitch. You must be on it, not above it, not beneath it. You must be on it. I Will Always Love You is also known for Whitney, you know.
Belting.
The a cappella.
Yes. But it was powerful and smooth, like butter. You can taste it in all the food, but it doesn't hit you in the face.
I just want to know why Christina had to do it. Why was she the choice? I would have even taken Jennifer's old hollering behind.
I would have taken her over.
But you know
my time,
my number one pick of who they should have gotten to do
I
it.
I thought you just threw your finger up at me.
Girl, it's my index
I know.
Finger.
I can't. You know I'm blind as a rat.
Oh,
I can't
Jesus
see.
Jesus Christ. But can you answer the question, please?
What was it again?
Do you know who my number one pick for who it should have been?
Let me think. Hold on. Don't say nothing.
Oh, gosh. We don't have that kind of time.
Girl. All right. Who?
Amber Riley.
Oh.
Amber would have sung the pants off
she
of that.
She sure would
She would have.
Have
taken all three of those songs to another place.
You
I would have
right.
been in my tears.
You right.
Shout out to Amber Riley, girl.
You
are out here.
You're our pick for Whitney Houston's tribute.
No, it should have been Amber Riley and Jasmine Sullivan, because I probably would have
Jasmine
jumped
Sullivan.
Out of the window.
My girl Jazzy should have got right on up there and sang her life away. Christina Aguilera.
Where
Did you see
hair?
Pink's face?
Listen, me and Pink shared the same sentiment.
The same
we was,
one.
I was like, me and Pink is just
disgusting.
Out. We on the same page. Even Ciara. Now, when Ciara is shading you, you know you sound bad.
Because the best thing she does is that fucking back bend
tell
them
Christina.
Little hip hops.
And she had that old Venus de Milo slip back looking like Chucky. I said, girl.
Christina stressed me out.
I said on Twitter, her voice was real thick like canned gravy. Like, you know, it was thick and unnecessary like canned gravy.
Like canned gravy.
Like, if you got to get your gravy out of a jar.
If you don't know how to make a quick homemade
nobody
gravy,
has
then you
time.
Don't need to be cooking.
You just like Christina ain't have no
it's
business
disgusting.
Up there doing that tribute.
Don't ever feed me
And
no
let me tell you something.
Gravy.
If there is ever a tribute or, I don't know, if ever a reason anybody is doing a musical tribute for me or anywhere near it, just make sure they don't have that choir up there in them $3 robes. Because
no.
That right there makes me angry every time.
I'm going to have every... if
Why do
I'm
the choir always...
Them.
Just have a group of people up there singing, because that's what constitutes a choir, not those polyester robes.
I need everybody up there in the same bodysuit that Tamika stole
Shut
back
your
from
mouth.
Candy.
Stretch them out.
That's what I want the whole
We don't
choir
have time
to
for
wear.
That. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. Moving on. This is not trash at all, but we have to, especially since we talked about her in a couple episodes, or was it last week? We talked about rest in peace to Della Reese, man.
Rest in peace, Della Reese.
Rest in peace to Della Reese.
And Earl Hyman.
Yes, Grandpa Huxtable.
Oh, man. Yo, if you're not familiar with Earl Hyman's Broadway catalog,
do your Googles.
He is more than the grandpa from Cosby. He's the grandpa from Cosby Show to me. But he's more than the grandpa from Cosby Show.
His IMDb is out here looking just poppin'. About like Jennifer poppin'. Jennifer Lewis.
Word.
Just out here. Damn, bookings.
Damn, Jennifer Lewis, that's long as shit.
Bruh.
I went back and looked at it. Dead ass a CVS receipt.
Also, shout out to one of our listeners sent us,
them unnecessary ass waste of paper and trees.
CVS receipts. They should just send them to your phone, right?
And Food Town. They give you like 7 slips. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm sorry.
You're mad.
I am.
There was somebody, shout out, one of our listeners sent us an email and said that Jennifer Lewis's audiobook is available on Audible.
Yes!
And she is narrating it. So I just feel like, man, I'm almost want to return my book so I can hear her. Because I mean, to hear her tell the stories, it's probably like kicks them up a notch or 7.
I'm keeping my book because it was signed.
So don't nobody care. You're bragging.
Not, and you're awesome.
You're bragging. You're bragging.
I'm not.
You are.
I'm humble.
You
bragging.
Did not have Let's to say that. Here. You Let's calling us out.
Call it what it
All
is.
All of us don't
It's a
have...
humble brag. But now I'm going to real brag. I got a signed book by Jennifer Lewis, a.k.a. Me in the Future, and I am also going to get the...
I'm just letting you finish. I'm just letting you finish.
I troll the shit out of Q.
Every day. Every day. But the people who want to jump in our inbox and say, I'm the mean one.
It's fine, though.
You know, they talked about Jesus. They did. They just ran him down in the street with their lies.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Come on, Erica Campbell.
To help me along the way. The only Campbell I acknowledge.
That's it. That and Campbell Soup.
That's it.
Is that all the trash we got today?
I think so.
All right.
My sis is popping right now, like.
So it's time for shout out to my sis. And this week, shout out to my sis is actually shout out to my bro.
Yeah.
We got an email from Sean Upshaw. Sorry, my bad, Sean. Who's a PhD student at Howard University in the Kathy Hughes School of Communications.
H-U-U-U.
Sean wrote us an email and said, good day, Jade and Kia. I want to thank you both for such an awesome yet culturally conscious platform for people who are on the path to being an adult in these somewhat United States of America. I want to shout out my brother in the culture, Jacob Q, the owner of Nature Boy Grooming. His products are for men who are in high pursuit for maintaining a healthy beard. His products are all natural and handled with professional care. His Instagram is at NatureBoyIG, or you can find his products at natureboyproducts.com. Sean fully supports this brother in his endeavors and would highly recommend this product for men, especially men of color, to invest in. Thank you for taking the time to read this email and continue to thrive, ladies. Sincerely, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. So, yeah, everyone check out Nature Boy products. I do not have a beard. We thank God for that.
I
got to
get one for my brother-in-law. I'm for your brother-in-law.
Oh, true. Yes, I do not have a beard, so I cannot attest to the quality of these products, from my personal experience. But I just respect, a website that's put together well. And, you know, He seems to have an approach, a natural approach to taking care of beards. Nobody wants an old, bushy, terrible beard. Beards are in, but we really want healthy, thriving beards. Okay? No. Don't scratch our faces with anything else. Take care of that.
We'll be out here looking like Paul Pierce.
And these products, are all natural, and they look like they smell good. And, I just like the way that they look.
I got to get some for Tristan.
You got to do that. Nature Boy products have been featured on Huffington Post. The Old Town Shaving Company, Black Books LA, We Buy Black, Curly Nikki has also they've also been featured on Bloodtivity. Well, hopefully y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I'm also in the Black Men's Grooming Den. So I mean, it seems that Jacob is out here with these products. So it would be in all of your best interests, especially since the holidays are coming up, to not have your bae's beard. Out here looking ashy, it can be thriving.
And we have a lot of male listeners, so.
Yeah, shout out to all of y'all.
Make sure you guys check that out. Report back.
Report back, let us know.
I'll tell you how it feels.
Oh,
Me Offset. Mm-mm, mm-mm,
mm-mm. We can't have nothing nice.
Why? Beers are nice. They're
beers
fun.
Are nice. You're not, though. It's fine.
You're right.
Yeah. That's all for shout out to my bro.
Support black business.
Support black businesses. Be sure to check Jacob out on Instagram and on his website. We'll leave all that information in the description box and tell him that Jaden Key has sent you over.
Ladies, get it for your man so they can stop using your products on their face. Because I know how that
Come
goes.
On here. Dipping into my good things.
All the time. Like, let me tell you something. Everything that I get that does not smell super feminine.
Are you kidding me?
This nigga dips into. Everything. He's like, oh yeah, this is nice. This makes my face feel nice. I'm like, do you know how much that costs?
Mm-mm.
No, because he's never going to buy it and re-up.
You better leave my...
Buy your man a nice beard kit so he can stay out of your
stay
shit.
Out of
That's
my
an ad.
That is... Honey, I need you to get out of my $16 Mayel Organics. Stop putting that mess on your face.
On your face.
Anyway, I got a little excited.
Sorry.
But yeah, check out NatureBoyProducts.com. And I'm going to learn to talk. All right.
Welcome to the kitchen table talk.
Hey.
Well, we're not eating anything today.
No.
Well,
we do have
complaints.
Some very nice water.
It's delicious. It's room temperature.
It's amazing.
Shout out to Shaylee. I said that right? Okay. Shaylene.
That's why I didn't want to say it because I wasn't sure.
All right.
But Shaylene provided us with this amazing water to ensure that we will not be thirsty.
WB Mason's Blizzard Spring Water.
Oh, yes.
It's nice and springy.
I love it.
Anyway, that's all we're eating today, but...
We got a guest.
Hey!
This is our very, very first guest.
I can't believe it.
How exciting.
I'm so excited.
We are so excited. Okay, so our guest is Joy Marie McKenzie.
If you want to be bougie, you can say Joy. Millie.
It's just Joy. My mom is just creative.
You know how many niggas change their names when they get bougie? I knew somebody, their last name was Richards. It went to Richard.
Oh, no.
I was like, nigga, I knew you before that.
Yeah, no. I'm from Baltimore, so it's just Joy. But
come on, body more.
Got to rep.
There was a lady back in, I don't remember her. She used to go to my church, but her name, we used to call her Lolo, right? Because her name was Lolita.
Oh, God.
As long as we knew, right?
Which I
And
love.
Then, out of nowhere, she talking about her name was Lolietta. And I was like, girl, wait.
Letters.
I'm sorry, that's not how vowels work. It is not. That's not how it works.
I know how my AEIOUs
I said, girl, no. You can't just add it. No. It don't work like that. So, yes, our guest is Joy Marie McKenzie. She is the author of The Engagement Game, a book that she contacted us a couple of months ago now and said that she wanted us to read her book and talk about it on the show. And I said, girl, we'll do you one better. We'll have you on the show so we can all talk about your book together like one big happy family. So welcome, Joy Marie.
Thank you, guys.
We're so happy to have you here.
Word.
I want you to first tell the people who you are and introduce yourself and just let's talk us through how you got, you know, what are the steps that got you to, you know, writing a memoir?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have to say, because I said this offline, but I have to say, y'all are my favorite podcast.
Oh, my God.
I am not just saying that because I am here. I really mean it. I swear to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to shout out my friend, Adrian Boone, because she put me on to you guys.
Well, hey, Adrian.
Yes.
Hey, girl.
What up?
All right.
Come through.
Yes.
Adrian.
Of the Boonie Breakdown, that's her podcast, because she would kill me if I did not rep.
Okay.
But she put me on to you guys, and I literally, every Tuesday, me and my dog, we listen.
We read all about your dog.
Arista.
So it really is Arista.
Yeah.
The names and dates and shit have been changed to protect the identities
she was
of
safe.
The niggas.
Yeah, she was safe. Okay. But no, so I am a writer. Mm-hmm. I'm a journalist by trade. I currently work for ABC News and Good Morning America. And I've been writing since I was little. Like, that was I journal. I know you have a thing about people who journal, but...
I journal. I'm just getting comfortable with
gotcha.
It.
But yeah, I journal, and I've been journaling since I was little, and so I pretty much journal to make sure I don't curse people out, because
I don't want to
be mean.
Yeah,
that's real.
And that's what I was doing when I started writing this book. I was journaling because I was frustrated in my relationship and trying to figure out, like, okay, it's been 5 years, where's my ring?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that I was writing a book when I was journaling. I just kind of journaled, and then it came out, and... you know, y'all are creative, so you know, like, when you do something, you're like, oh, that's kind of good.
Right.
And that's how I felt, like, oh, this is interesting. This could be a book. And so I sent it to an editor just for feedback, because that's what you do when you're a writer. And the editor was like, oh, actually, can we buy it and publish it? And I was like, oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I was very shocked.
Excuse me?
So I was like, oh, wow. Like, I have no agent. I don't have a book. And she's like, no, that's fine. Like, just whatever you want to write, like, write this story. And so I really felt like, okay, God really wanted me to tell this story for women, because I did not want to tell I'm like telling on myself.
Right.
Like, I played a game to get a guy to propose to me.
Right.
And although it did work, you know, that's kind of embarrassing to share. You know, I'm smart.
Like, I get it.
I went to Columbia. Like, yeah. I got smarts, you know.
Y'all hear that? Plug.
But I say all that to say, like, you know, I really put myself out there, but really to help other people who've been in that situation, because I was just frustrated.
That's what it's all about.
Totally.
Well, Kia has, we came up with some questions.
Oh, nice.
We've both read the book.
Yeah.
But I am going to start off by saying, because we discussed it ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it funky with you.
Okay. I'm like nervous.
We got this book, right? I didn't have no interest in reading this book.
Nice.
None at all. not any. And I just didn't know what to, see the engagement game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't, okay, well, she's got to come on the show, so I got to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Kia read it.
Yeah.
Kia had the same sentiments.
I just wasn't excited about it. Mm-hmm. I think because this is not a personal dig to you.
No.
Not a personal dig. I was just saying that I felt like I didn't need to read another book about another single woman who's writing about her singledom until, you know, Prince Charming comes and sweeps her off her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because, you know, that's a story that we've heard and seen in movies and television
too many
shows
times.
And Hallmark Channel and Lifetime movies and all of the weed and all of the networks have really beat us over the head with this same story. So, you know, I will say that I was pleasantly surprised by your book. And I shared that with you in our previous conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you tell. I'm interested to know what your perspective on how and why this book is a fresh perspective on an age-old conversation amongst women, both married and single. Because all women feel like they know how to get a man.
Mm-hmm.
They know, we all navigate relationships. So, like, why do you feel like your book is a fresh take on this conversation?
Right. So I am like y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see you say yes to the dress again. Like, I do follow Moonaliki, like, I follow all the bridal things. But yeah, like you said, it is an oft told story.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I honestly didn't plan to write this book. So it wasn't like I was trying to make a statement, but I wanted to just share what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was always told, like, okay, go to school, get good grades, maybe get another degree, like, do well. And you will be, quote unquote, rewarded with a man and a husband and a dog and all these things. But my life didn't turn out that way. So I'm 5 years into this relationship saying, okay, well, where's my reward? Like, I did everything. I didn't cheat on this man.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do right by him. Like, what is happening? And so for me, I think this perspective is fresh because I'm not telling you it's going to work out, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not telling you everything's going to be okay. For me, I'm very frustrated in the fact that women have the burden of holding all of this together,
right?
Like, it's our responsibility to make marriage happen for us. And I'm very frustrated that men don't share that same kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time, you know, you scroll on Instagram, you see another girl with a ring, you're like, dang, why can't I get that for me?
Right.
And so I think social media in this age kind of exacerbates that issue.
That's
all right.
I know you know who that is though.
Tay.
Tanika.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
She's FaceTiming with the baby. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
Sorry,
girl.
But no, but it's just like, you know, you feel that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to sound off and be like, yo, I'm sick of feeling like this. I reject this.
Mm-hmm.
I reject feeling like I should be somewhere that I think that I should be. I want to be who I am now. And although I'm 32, like, I should be proud that I'm single. The majority of people in the U.S. are single. So I don't know why single people get a bad rep.
Right.
And I just wanted to reject all of those things that people say that women should be.
Mm-hmm.
And moreover, for Black women, I think, you know, my dating story, as y'all have read, is not a sad story. Like, I had so much fun. I call it my Solange summer when I was traveling. I talk about going to Istanbul. I talk about dating all these guys, and they were fine. I swear one looked like Idris Elba. I saw him the other day at Row House. He is still fine.
That's right.
And let me not talk too much because my boyfriend would be like, excuse me, what? But it's not a sad dating story. And I didn't have that experience. A lot of people who read it are like, oh, I'm so glad you talked about dating in a happy way. And it's like, that's how I approached it. Like, totally. I know I'm going to have fun. I look cute. Like, I'm going to get these men. And I did. And I had a great time doing it. And I learned a lot about myself and what I really wanted from marriage.
Right.
So that's why I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah, totally.
That's why I was so pleasantly surprised, I think, because I came at you harsh right now, but
you did. Dang, I know y'all like the book.
But I wanted to tell you that because I was so pleasantly surprised once I started reading the book, and I actually had to defend it. And I don't even want to say this, but I told Kia.
Yeah, I think you should.
She was like, you should share. So niggas are problematic. Okay, they are. Nine times out of ten, your husbands, your brothers, your grandpas, your fathers.
We love y'all.
We love y'all, but you're problematic. But your thinking is skewed
sometimes. Right?
My husband included. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to put him out there.
We love you.
He don't really listen to this like this. I don't think.
Until you get home. So, he's like, hey, I thought
this
going
to be the one episode where he's like, I listened to your show. but he read the title when I started. I was like, I got to finish this book because we have a guest coming on the show. He was like, what's that about? This is another bitter bitch book. And I was like, by this time I'd already gotten into it. And I was like, actually, nigga,
yes.
Actually, it's not a bitter bitch book.
Right.
And every single woman out here is who's talking about her experience is not sad.
Nope.
Exactly.
Because as much as y'all are hopping around,
we out here. Write that down.
Because that would mean that I am. But back in the gap, you know what I'm saying? We've squatted on a few.
Right now.
And it's all right. So,
we had a good time doing it.
We had a damn good time doing it, okay? And some of y'all are he don't count.
Right.
But some of y'all count.
Yes. No, that's true.
Because there's a few that didn't make that book.
Mm-hmm. Girl.
All right.
There's a few that
and
don't
they
make
were
my
mad, too.
They
and
they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Weirdos.
Like, I'm not talking about your minuscule penis.
No, but for real, like, I think that's, you know, singleness is often viewed as, like, a pejorative. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, when I tell somebody that I'm 34 and single, they be like,
And that is so unnecessary.
Aww. It really is.
So, like, you know, and you know, you get it from people who you don't know, and you get it from your family members. Because I was telling Bobby last night that I think, and it's not, like I said, I don't think that anybody's doing this with the intention to be malicious or hurtful, but and especially older family members, like, I think that they look at me like, oh, Takiya has made a choice. She has decided that she is going to be a career woman. And, you know, a husband is just not in the cards. She's just not interested. Let's not even talk to her about it.
That's a shame.
Because, right. So I think that is, and that's something I know. I talk to other people who are in my age group, and that's something that a lot of us are experiencing now. Like,
right.
People just kind of, and they even launch into kind of giving you advice about, like, oh, eventually, girl, don't worry. It's just a matter of time. He's just around the corner. It's like,
all you gotta do.
I didn't ask you for any of that, but, you know, God bless. So back to your point we were saying before, like, women carry the responsibility for something that is fundamentally beyond our control.
Yep.
In that we don't have any kind of control over what another person, partner, decides to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I think we should just kind of unpack that, talk about that a little bit more.
Yes. This is my theory on relationships. I feel like we're living in a fantasy world when we say that we're in equal relationships this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if we say that, then let's actually see that in practice. So, meaning from its inception, from marriage's start, from the very beginning, if we are in equal relationships, then I could propose to my guy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I could get down on one knee and be like, babe, will you marry me? But if I do that, myself included, I would be like, girl, what you doing? Get up.
The commercial.
Right.
You saw the commercial. The deodorant commercial with a girl got down on one knee and proposed to the dude, a black lady. And people were pissed.
Outraged, total.
I mean, it was just so much bad reception.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just not a common thing. But you claim we're in equal relationships. So that's just not true. And I feel like as long as we're being honest with each other, then great. Mm-hmm. But the reality is men hold the power. Mm-hmm. And they know they do. So like after I wrote this book, ABC was like, can you report this out? Can you find other couples who've been engaged for 5 years but then got married? And let's tell your story and tell their story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. I'm thinking it's going to be not normal because for me, I'm like, I felt like I was waiting for a while. I go on my Facebook, put up a post. It's like the most popular post of the year. Like mad people are like, me too, or 7 years. I was 10 years. And I got a couple and I spoke with them and I said, you know, tell me about your relationship. Like, you know, how did you decide to buy a house? Oh, we decided together. Oh, great. Tell me about having kids. What was that conversation like? Oh, we decided together. All right, cool. Tell me about getting married. Well, he decided, mm-hmm. like, you know, and the guy, so I interviewed them separately. And like I said, when did you know that you wanted to propose mm-hmm. to your wife? And he said, oh, the first day, the first date, you know, she was just everything that I ever wanted. And I had been looking for her and we were in the car driving from school, et cetera. I said, okay. I said, so when did you propose? 5 years. Okay, well, why did you wait that long?
For what?
Because the way my biology is set up.
Right.
So I said, well, why did you wait that long? And he said, I'll never forget this. He said, I took the power away from her. He said that. Like, he literally said those words, right? And he said, because she knew exactly how she wanted it. She knew exactly how she wanted her proposal. She knew exactly the people she was going to call after I did it.
Wow.
She, like, had imagined this all in her mind, as a lot of women do. We think about marriage from when we were children. And he said, I just wanted it to be my thing that I did for her. I really wanted to plan this. And initially I had that same reaction. I was like, you are insane and you make me sick.
Right.
But then I had to give him a little bit of grace because, you know, the narrative of marriage is like happy wife, happy life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's thinking, after I give her this ring, it's going to be her show for the rest of our lives.
True.
And this was his like last stand to like really do something.
But you got to stand for so long.
Right. Like, aren't your feet hurting?
Right.
Like, seriously.
Damn,
but,
bitch, my feet.
But, yeah. So we just need to, like, be real about that. Like, this whole engagement process, this marriage process, it is a power struggle at times.
Right.
And it's exhausting.
And it should really kind of actually shows the breakdown in communication between men and women. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times... Yes, niggas, y'all are problematic. However, we have our issues, too.
Agreed.
And it makes sense, actually, where a man will say, because it is the term is happy wife, happy life. There's nothing that rhymes with happy husband, happy nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't, happy husband, happy, I don't know. So it is happy wife, happy life. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that a man might want to hold on to that for a minute because... He's never going to have that again.
Never.
He's never going to have it again, which sounds really fucked up to say, but it makes sense because, and it's a breakdown in communication, but it's both sides trying to figure out what works best. And like you said, it's a power struggle, and I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting, though, that both sides are negotiating power dynamics within a relationship that no one ever articulates. Like, it's kind of like we're in our heads playing our own game and they're
always
in their heads playing their own game. But never at any point do we all come to the table and say, so two plus two equals four.
Right.
Like, so and Tuesday comes after Monday. Like, what what comes after this?
Most people don't want to keep it funky, though.
Right.
Yeah. They don't want to be honest and say, you know what? I want to be in control of this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the pace in which you're handling this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, it's an issue. I mean, and I face it as, you know, I face it too, where I don't always want to say that, but.
And even like it's hard for me and where I was when I was writing this book, it was hard for me to come to my man who I chose to love and I knew who loved me, but it was hard for me to come to him and be like, babe, I want to get married and I want to get married now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to say those things because what does society tell you? Oh, you're being desperate. Like, you're being a little thirsty. Like, could you just calm down?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just hard to, say those words. And so I made it a very conscious effort in my new relationship now. Like, we talk about, I mean, he talked about marriage in our first conversation, but we talk about marriage as if, like it's happening all the time. And there's no, like, I don't feel weird bringing up marriage and children with him because I don't want to ever make that a big deal for me again. Right. So that I'm not able to approach in a conversation. And we've really made it a plan to plan our lives together. So it's like, okay, when would you like to get married? When would you like to move in? When would you like to do all these things? And I felt that has helped the pressure for me. It's lifted the pressure off of me.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to just tell us. Okay, so I don't want to give away the book. This has been a struggle for me because I'm like, how do I ask questions? I want to ask like detailed questions about
I'm not going
to
spoil it.
We will say, even if you all are listening to this episode, make sure you read the book. Yeah. It is a memoir. It's interesting. It's fun.
Well, give the information. I was just going to have Joy kind of describe it because I feel like we just jumped right into the conversation. We didn't tell the people that the engagement game was about XYZ.
You know what? You're right.
I'll do that.
We late. You know, we're a little raggedy. You know,
CPT. It's all right.
We are a work in progress.
We are.
So I'm going to give Joy the opportunity to kind of just say what the engagement game is about, hopefully. Yes. And this is be good. We've been talking a long time, and I mentioned on Twitter that Getting Grown is thinking about doing like a book club.
Yes.
So this is kind of like our pilot kind of test run.
Yes.
So we're hoping that, you know, at some point after, you know, we'll share the information for the book, you guys will go out and get it, and then we can come back in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months or so, and have another conversation and get into more depth about, you know, some of the specific content of the book. Mm-hmm. But today we can just kind of introduce the book, introduce Joy, what the general conversation about navigating different relationships and kind of like the concept of engagements, the concept of marriage. So Joy, take it away.
All right. So not to give the book away, but the engagement game is a memoir. It is not a how-to. Mm-hmm. It is not like, I'm not anti-marriage because the tagline is why I said I don't to marriage and I do to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my aunties be like, so you don't want to get married? No, I do. I just don't want to get divorced.
Right. So. I would like to stay married. I don't want to just get married.
That's it.
Staying married is the key.
It's so key.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of the major keys.
I just want to do it one time.
It's a major key.
Right.
So when I was 28 years old, I was in this 5-year relationship with this man who I loved and who loved me. We had an amazing relationship. But he didn't put a ring on it. Mm-hmm. And so I go to my older sister, Jasmine, and I'm like, well, what did you do? Because clearly I'm doing something wrong. You know, like I said, I grew up very much go to school, do good, get good grades. Mm-hmm. My mother wasn't telling me, grow up, go get a husband.
Right.
Because that would have been easier. But anyway. So my sister's like, girl, you got to play the game. You got to play the engagement game. And I'm like, well, what's that? Mm-hmm. You know, I got my notepad out taking notes. And she's like, well, the first step of the game is make a list of what you want in a husband. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. Like, of course, at 28, 5 years in, I had never asked myself what I wanted in a husband. That sounded like common sense advice. And so the book walks you through the rest of the steps and me trying to really do them, failing at some of them hilariously, but trying my best because I really wanted this ring. And of course, we break up. You know, spoiler alert, we break up anyway, because that's what you do when you try really, really hard at something that's really not supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And I have a great time. I have my Solange summer. I travel away. I drink it away. I have a good time doing me. And he comes back and he's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to put a ring on it.
As they tend to do.
They always come back.
Carry on.
But I found myself kind of hesitating with taking the plunge. The epiphany hit me, like, you know, I started this whole game wrong. Instead of making a list of what I wanted in a husband, I should have thought about the type of wife I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so the book really encourages women to not only make sure their partner is ready, but turn the lens around and look at yourself and make sure that you're ready for the type of commitment you say you want.
So key.
That's right.
I love it.
I loved it.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it was a nice spin because it wasn't what I was expecting. But
it's so necessary.
It was very necessary. And it was very, like, they made sense. All the points made sense.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like logical. And I think it was so like the aha moment for me was because we don't talk about this kind of stuff.
We don't.
If you think about it, I said, like, there's 40,000 shows about finding a wedding dress. There's 40,000 shows about planning a wedding. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of magazines and events and expos and all kinds of things about the wedding.
David Tutera.
Exactly.
Yep. I used to love every one of them, too.
And I used to watch them, like, legit. Like, just legit watch them. Me and my mama still. Like, when I go home for Christmas, I know that on Saturday, I will be sitting in the living room with my mama watching Say Yes to the Dress.
and we would just critique.
I can't. I can't watch it anymore. I can't.
Nah.
I can't watch it anymore.
I mean, I can handle it at this point. I mean, I'm sure there will be a point of saturation where I'm like, girl, I'm not doing this with you. But
that's your story.
But I'm saying, I said that to say, like, all of that is kind of emphasized and promoted in kind of like society and culture. But the qualities of being a good partner, and like, no one teaches us how to be single and kind of stand in singledom, right? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm thinking about, and again, y'all still can't tell my mama because I feel like I tell all her business on the show. But I'm thinking about, like, my mama moved out of my grandma's house and into the house with a man.
Mm-hmm. So did my mom.
And I'm just like, girl, you didn't know who you were. I mean, she was grown. So I'm sure that she had some sense of who she was. But I'm sure if I asked her now, she would be like, oh, no, girl, I had no idea about X, Y, Z. Nobody never told me all of this or all of that. So I just thought that was like one of the, why don't we talk about that? Why isn't that we, you know, bump into these kinds of things instead of putting them out front for, I mean, as our show is called Getting Grown, there's a lot of people who are 22, God bless your hearts, who listen to us. And, you know.
Although I had fun. That was like
I had a good time.
Right.
You know, it's great. It's frustrating. And there are things that we didn't, you know until we knew.
Right.
But is this something that we should kind of tell people and give a heads up? Or is this something that we all kind of have to come through and learn through the hard lessons? How do we promote singleness in a positive way?
Yeah, I have a theory about this. Like, I think Western culture, specifically American culture, is built around marriage.
Right.
Right. You get tax breaks from that.
Absolutely.
Like,
and you don't get so many tax breaks from a degree.
Nope.
Not one.
Nope. No, you don't. No.
You do not.
No.
Like, our whole culture is built upon getting married. Not staying married. Right.
Getting married.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about the whole consumerism behind marriage. That's because America makes money from it.
Totally. Right?
Like, companies make money from it. So, of course, they're going to promote that, especially now. It's now engagement season.
Mm-hmm.
So now on my Instagram feed, I got mad videos of rings sliding on.
And I don't even understand it.
How did they find me?
Because, like, even on the app, I don't search for any of this stuff, but I'd be like, somebody's trolling me because it'll be in my Instagram ads, my Facebook.
It just showed up this week.
It's like, why are y'all engagement rings?
And that never pops up in my feed.
It always pops up in my feed.
You're so lucky. It just started this week, and they're beautiful ads. I'd be looking, but I just be like, stop.
Even though I'm married, I don't be interested.
I love your ring, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I do. I really do. But yeah, so that's why they promote, you know, getting married and just really getting married. They don't promote staying married.
Yeah.
No.
There was one good show about staying married on TV, Marriage Boot Camp, but now they have like different hosts. It's like, whack now.
Yeah.
But like Marriage Boot Camp was like the only show at one time on TV that really promoted like
salvaging
how to stay married.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's why. And plus people shame single people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, because the majority of people in the U.S. are single, but there's some sort of shame attached to being alone that I still haven't wrapped my mind around.
You know what that comes from.
What do you think?
Well, for one, we've all heard Flawless. But beside that, Chimamanda talks about, you know, even outside of that, if you've ever read into her, she talks about women being conditioned. You know, we hear that. And so that's been a problem in Western civilization, but all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I lost my thought for a second.
But I feel you.
We talk, you know, people are, we're conditioned as women to become wives.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I want to make sure I'm not getting into
it. Fair.
But you fell into a mindset. It's just kind of like, oh, I met this great guy. Well, of course, the next step is that I want him to be my husband.
Right.
So how can I figure out how to make this happen? And a lot of us, the reason why singleness, I think, is shamed and loneliness is shamed is because there's too many people who are shaming who are not comfortable with themselves.
Because that's what I think true happiness as a single person is.
Yeah.
It's like really coming face to face with all that you are.
Yeah.
Because and all that and what I have learned in my own journey is that it's more about, you have to know those things in order to even know what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
So the things that I thought that I wanted in a man, the kind of qualities, like if I would have wrote my list of the characteristics of a husband, and if I wrote that list in 2012, it would be largely different than it is today.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Like way, way, way different. But you know, all of that came through like time and experience.
And dating around.
And dating and, you know, or even not dating. But like, you know, like just not, I mean, just
That's when it I say
like coming, because I say, you know, dating for me is like you come into contact with people, you like some, you don't like some, mm-hmm. but you're still interacting. So like dating for me has been more just as much about learning what I don't want.
Instead as it should. That's the word.
As it is in learning what I do want. Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of healthy, you know, that kind of healthy interaction, that healthy period, that healthy phase is not promoted. Mm-hmm. And it's more to it than just sex. Right.
Oh, yeah, no, so no, yes. Because I did not have sex with all those. Let me right. just, mom, I did not have sex with all those people I wrote about. I just did not. Nope.
No, but I'm saying, like, we conflate, like, dating. Like, when someone says I'm single, they think you're just out here screwing everything that's not nailed down.
No one's getting their numbers up. That's you know not hell
squatted on a few dicks, not all of them.
And all of y'all ain't worthy of this goodness.
Exactly. I just feel like we have a lot more to do, a lot more Absolutely. Growing and stretching to do as a society when it comes to thinking through these things. Because I think these conversations need to be had.
Absolutely.
And hopefully some of our male listeners turn this up. But yes, hopefully some of our male listeners will chime in and share their, because I'm interested to know their perspectives.
I
would have loved to see a man write, you know, from his, like, you know, I don't know, what was his name in the book?
Adam.
I would have loved to see Adam.
Please don't encourage that.
Adam's answer.
Please don't.
What was Adam's answer? That's what we call it. Adam's answer. Adam's response.
Please don't encourage
what
him.
What is Adam's response to the engagement game?
Because he cannot wait, I'm sure.
He's about to come back with his 442. Like, nigga, don't nobody want to hear what you got to say.
No. But I did send him the book. I did. Because, you know, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, so I didn't want him to sue me. I wanted everything to be above board.
Yes, indeed. Listen, let's take these steps.
Legalities.
Let's take these steps.
And he said he didn't read it because he was like, I'm just so proud of you. I mean, that you know, that came after he was a little stressed out. But y'all think he read it?
He absolutely read it.
Actually, I don't know. Niggas are dismissed.
Because he was too happy to see me. I think he would have been like, ugh.
But you didn't speak about him negatively.
I did not.
You did not. And that's one thing I also appreciate is that you did not.
This is not about male bashing. No, nobody's saying
and
that.
And that's the problem, like, such as my husband or a lot of men have. They think automatically when we speak about being happy within our independence. Because mm-hmm. Let me explain something to you. I may be the married one here, but before my husband, I was happy as hell. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was in a good spot. Now, I had been in a bad spot. I've spoken about it before. I had a 9-year relationship that, like, my wedding was called off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. I remember you telling this
story. Yeah, my wedding was called off.
And say no to Ryan.
Like, say no to Ryan.
Say no to Ryan.
His cousin listens to this show.
And that's fine.
Tell
him. Shut up.
Say no to Ryan.
You know, I did not have a good ending, and I went through it, but I got to a place where I felt real good. You know what I'm saying? And I really enjoyed being single.
And that's the only way.
My life.
Yeah, that's the only way you can choose a good partner is when you were happily single. Absolutely. I really believe that.
Absolutely. And even then, we're all flawed.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so you got to pick and choose.
The relationship is going to be work, right?
Like, but you didn't come from a negative. I'm sorry, sis.
No.
But bringing it back, you didn't come. You, for anybody who's going to read this, man or woman, you did not come from a negative standpoint. And no. I really, really appreciated that.
Thank
because
you.
Men can't come at you and tell you that you came and you were male bashing, because that goes on a lot, you know, in the name of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are not true feminists. Feminism does not mean male bashing.
No, and it doesn't mean that I want to be more powerful than you. It's just equality.
Right.
It's just equality. That's literally all it is.
Just acknowledgement. But like, acknowledging my perspective is not like yours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that I'm allowed to have that.
Right.
That's all. Mm-hmm. Like, right. For real.
But I'm glad you said that, because that was important to me, because I, you know, he will always have a place in my heart.
Totally.
I respect him.
Totally.
I loved him. And it just wouldn't be a true reflection of the way that I felt for him if I spoke negatively of him. So it just didn't work out.
I think a lot of people, too, write stories when they go through tumultuous situations and things that are really jarring. And yours was really good, too, because it kind of was just like a breakdown in you figuring out what you want and what you don't want.
Right.
And it wasn't some big climactic, like, I hate this nigga. We throwing coffee mugs at each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like,
thank God. I can't.
I just realized this don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right.
Yeah.
It's about taking responsibility, which is what I love, right? Because a lot of these books would be like, you know, niggas ain't shit. And you know, we can sit around and do that for all week. But
it's fun.
But the bottom line is, a lot of times, even in the case when niggas ain't shit,
mm-hmm. we play a role.
We have to acknowledge, you know, how we are complicit in mm-hmm. the ancientness. Yeah. And, you mm-hmm. know, what we can do, not even in, within that relationship, but what can we do as far as the choices that we make to move our lives forward in a better and more positive direction.
Right. Right.
So I think that that is what I took away most from the book, because I found myself being like, what I need to sit down and write in my journal?
Yes, I took myself away from that book. Like, oh, I took it away.
Get my things together here so I can literally, because this is like, this is my journal. I'm going to show y'all. This is my journal, aww, right? This is kind of like my book.
Filled.
But you will see that this is the damn, this is in the middle. It's terrible, wow, right? It's so bad. Don't judge.
No, it's,
but it's nice.
This is the end of the book, right? Yeah, so this nice. Is these are the notes. This is my notes after finishing the engagement game.
Aww, that I'm reading. Oh my,
see my notes that I'm reading.
Yes, I want to see.
These are my notes. I read it thoroughly.
These are my notes.
But I'm a woman of a few words.
These are my, no, I'm saying, like, you know, after reading the engagement game, it made me sit down and think through, like, you know, what's
dope,
different things that I can do differently.
That's,
and
dope.
I think that's what was most empowering, yes, about the book. So I encourage everybody to go get it. We will have all the information,
word,
in the description box. We want to thank Joy, yes, for coming, yes, by. It was so awesome to sit and chat,
yes,
with you.
It was.
And hopefully this won't be the last time you'll come and sit, yes, sit and, yeah, hang out
and
with us.
And thank you for, like, letting me be your first guest. I'm so excited.
You
and
are
humbled. And y'all keep up doing y'all thing. Y'all thank are you just doing amazing.
We're
so
trying.
Plug us on ABC.
We are trying.
I sure will.
Plug,
nah,
us on,
they
if
don't
I
want
can
my foul mouth.
Like, if
I'm
I can,
not family
I sure
friendly
will.
You will have to. You will,
yeah, they
have
do
to
like the family friendly, though.
You will have to, you will have to tone it down.
I watch all the shows. We gotta fresh off the boat.
We got to be, like, ready for daytime.
You're right. You know what? You, hello, my name is Jade.
Everybody not gonna put up with our foolishness. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. You're right. But I'm not dumbing down my blackness.
No, all nobody fine said you gotta do that.
All right.
Because I'm always just be the blackest mind thing.
Are
in
you
the
still
room
not cursing?
You see me trying?
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
you
no. I still no. I'm still trying not to curse.
Okay. That's, I thought that was an interesting point that you put in there.
Because I was, I mean, but did y'all notice after Mary J. was going through her divorce, she was cursing up a storm.
Oh, yeah.
And she said it was because I was so frustrated. I felt the same way. I just was, like, trying to knock everybody's head off. But, I mean, there are some days that are not successful.
Mm-hmm.
But today was a good day.
Every day is a process.
Yeah, today was a good day.
Good. Thank you. Do it.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for coming, Joy.
Yeah.
We encourage everybody. I encourage married women. From my perspective, I encourage married women to read this book as well, and married men.
Because you could take something away from it.
Yo, absolutely. And every once in a while, you got to shift the relationship. You got to do some restructuring, refinancing and shit. So make sure you write down what kind of partner you want to be. You know what kind of partner you look, so that you guys can work in harmony together and then have those conversations. So I thought this was dope.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Check out the engagement game, guys.
I know. We can go on and on about this.
I know.
Thanks again to Form for supporting this week's episode. Form is the premium hair care collection dedicated to making every hair journey simpler and better. Inspired by your own hair care experiences, Form delivers uncompromising performance without sacrificing the health of your hair. It all starts with your life, your style, and your hair goals. After taking the Form consultation, you'll be delivered a Form regimen complete with selected products, styling techniques, and care tips that are tailored to you. Just like their brother brand Bevel, the folks at Form were tired of seeing the women they love struggle to find hair care that was personal, effective, and high quality. And just in time for the holidays, Form gift cards and Form Minis. Form Minis are lifestyle sets for hair care on the go. Whether you want to transform, move, bounce, create, or stick to the details, Form has you covered. Head over to formbeauty.com/gettinggrown to get 10% off and free shipping on your first purchase and a free Form Mini when you spend over $50. That's formbeauty.com/GETTINGROWN. Get personal with Form.
Spell it.
Honestly,
truly. Boom, 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 ch, boom, 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 ch, boom, 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 ch, boom, 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 ch. It's time for the honesty box. It's time for the honesty box. Hey. Ooh, we get to be together this week,
know,
so it's gonna
right?
be on key. It's not gonna be like,
I know, right?
All delayed and shit.
We gonna work on that.
we can't control.
Well, Ty said that there's things that we can do. Like we gotta make sure we gotta don't have any other browsers open. And we're gonna...
I don't. Okay.
All right. I usually have like 17,000 open, but it's probably,
fair enough.
It's fine.
Well, we was on beat today.
We was.
So our honesty box today is actually a follow up. Remember the email that we read a couple of weeks ago from the teacher who wanted to know how she could still be herself and still remain herself while being successful in her career. And we asked her for some clarity on what she was talking about, so we're going to read her update. Hi, Jade and Kia. Thank you so much for reading my email. Jade, I agree that there is a time and place for bodycon dresses in the schoolhouse. It's neither the time or the place for both teachers and students.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There's also no blunt smoking on Snapchat.
Thank God.
Because I don't smoke blunt on Snapchat. I often feel apprehensive about doing things like starting a podcast with my best friend and posting vlogs on my recently started YouTube channel. I definitely don't go out of my way to be inappropriate on the internet. However, I do want to be myself and not feel like a cuss word or an unpopular opinion about politics or race relations stand in the way of me progressing in my career. I hope that provides more context. Thanks again. I don't remember if we read her name.
I don't think we did.
The ghetto English teacher.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So.
All right, sis. So thank you for providing the context that we needed.
Yes.
Because this is a little bit more, like, I feel like I have a bit more direction in terms of my response. So this is actually something that I negotiate every, you know, with my own job and position and career and having this show. And the first word that comes to mind is kind of is discretion.
Yes.
I am, and I'm honest, you know what I'm saying? I'm very conscious of the fact that I want to be myself in every space. Mm-hmm. And I think about the way I approach it is, you know, what's my brand as a person, as an individual, as a scholar, as a researcher, as a thinker, and as a host of a podcast.
Right.
And I want there to be consistency across all of those, you know, the brand to be consistent across all of those. So I try to be the same Kia in every space.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say I'm discreet. So like you'll never see me. Like I can tell you guys that I work for a policy organization or a think tank in D.C., but I may not disclose exactly which one because there are several. I can tell you, and the same to be said. You know, my boss. You know, I've told her that I have a project that I do this, but I haven't, you know, shared the name. I mean, if she finds it, it's nothing that I'm way, you know, I'm not ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I try to be conscious of the type of person, you know, the kind of things that I talk about on this show. But in my conversation with her about it, I was very clear in that, you know, this is not an academic or a professional space, but this is where I you know, get to, you know, be Takiya, without the pressures of, you know, different professional roles and what we have to do to fulfill and kind of stay true to that. As a secondary, you know, as a teacher who working, you know, in secondary education, I think that the same discretion should be applied in your case and just being conscious, like, I think there are ways that you can be authentic to yourself without compromising your integrity as a professional. And if you keep in mind, you know, keep your students in mind, keep your job in mind, keep your career in mind, you can find ways to occupy spaces, whether it be on the podcast world or on your YouTube channel, that are authentic and true to who you are, but will not jeopardize your future. And I hope that helps.
I agree. I don't have much more to add. Key is the one who fits, I think, better with this. And I just echo her sentiments in the sense where discretion is always key. But it's just a matter of what you feel comfortable sharing as well.
Right.
I'm a little bit more open.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain things that I don't mind sharing. I don't mind sharing that I engage in the Mary Janes. Like, everybody knows I do that. However, somebody else may not want to disclose that. You know what I'm saying? And I just use that as an example because that's one of those things that could be controversial. I cuss, but I am the same all across the board. I also am lucky enough to work in an environment where my personality does not really, it's not problematic.
Right.
But everybody is not aware of that. So I think the level of discretion that Kia spoke about is spot on.
And I think, you know, you just one thing at a time. Like, don't think like, I had to have a conversation with people at my job about the podcast because the podcast, thanks to you guys, has grown in ways that I did not anticipate.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my conversation with my supervisor, because, I mean, it was to the point where we would be out at lunch or in meetings, and I was being approached by listeners, and she was kind of looking at me like, what is going on here? So
nothing.
I had to, you know, to find ways to talk about it. And thankfully, since Jade and I had conversations in the beginning in terms of how we were going to frame the show and what the show is going to be about, the show being true to our authentic experiences, both as professionals and as people, you know, that consistency amongst the brands was already there.
Right.
So, you know, I was able to share with her that the podcast was for and about Black women who are navigating professional spaces and navigating personal spaces in our lives. And sometimes we talk about the professional and sometimes we talk about the personal.
Yes.
And, you know, because that's what it's all about, to have like a balanced life. So be conscious of that and in your planning and as you structure whatever your creative outlets are going to be conscious of that. And I think if you keep that intention at the forefront of what you're doing, then, you know, you should be in good shape.
Yeah.
So it's not, don't, I mean, yeah, respectability.
You ain't got to stress, sis.
You don't got to stress. You'll be fine. Can't nobody be mad.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
Since we're doing part twos, we had a petty peeve that I read the other week about supermarket etiquette. But I'm just going to put it out there, because this is the reason in the season. Because I went to go do all my Thanksgiving shopping, like I said, and y'all don't have like simple etiquette. Y'all don't have the rules down of how to navigate in a supermarket so that traffic can flow accordingly. Stop leaving your basket in the middle of the aisle if you go to pick something up. You know what I do with my basket? I parallel park it in a spot that is not like high traffic.
Obtrusive, right? Just not obstruct the people from getting around.
And also don't go shopping early, because you're going to. But
they'll help you. Because I remember when Cortez and I were doing Thanksgiving. Well, they'll try. I remember we were picking greens, and this little Black lady came over and was just like, ooh, these greens are so pretty. These are pretty greens. Ooh, these greens is pretty. And be like, thank you, ma'am.
I had the opposite experience, because I went to the, there's this spot I like to go in Brooklyn that has a bunch of produce for a really good price, but they're also super fresh. It's called Three Guys from Brooklyn. Whatever. I think they're Italian. But I had this old white man behind me, and he was like, what are those big leafy things in your shopping cart?
None of your business, sir.
I was like,
those big leafy things. I'm not doing
it. I was like, what's that thing in your cart? It was his grandchild.
You are so rude.
It was covered with a blanket. I don't know. Some white people carry dogs and baby strollers, so I don't ever know what's going on.
Let me tell you something. If you put a dog in a shopping cart, I'm calling the police.
Yo,
if you put a dog in a supermarket,
I've seen it.
I am calling the authorities.
Me and Tristan saw a white lady the other day with a double stroller, and you know what was in it? Two dogs with hoodies.
I'm not talking about a stroller. I've seen strollers, but I'm talking about at the supermarket.
It's also dumb.
If you put, it is dumb, but I'm saying like in the supermarket where someone might set their eggs down in that little.
I know.
Don't you do it. I promise I'm calling the police.
I don't want to share the supermarket with your dog.
I do not.
But anyway, yeah. So I just wanted to revisit supermarket etiquette. Like, move your shit to the side. Make a list so you can quickly get what you need to get. And if you move slow, bring somebody quick with you.
I think that you have inspired me, because we've talked about this before on the show, but my petty peeve is in like manner. Ooh, I'm sorry. But, okay. So company Thanksgiving potluck was last week.
Gross.
Exactly. And let me just say something.
Potlucks are the devil.
They are.
Half of y'all can't cook.
Don't nobody want to go to your potluck. And I mean, if you're in management and you are a leader of your office,
you have to go.
You have to. No. Well, yes, but I'm just proposing that all managers and presidents and CEOs just mandate that instead of potlucks, just sponsor the dinner. Just buy it. Buy it from a restaurant. Have it catered.
Support your local caterer.
This is what I'm saying. Don't nobody want to come in. Like, we don't want to eat people's food from other people's homes. Like, we just don't. We just do not. Let me tell you something. I came downstairs. I knew it was going to be a terrible, terrible potluck, because I came downstairs to the boardroom filled with all kinds of dishes from all kinds of people who work at my job, and there was no aroma. So, you know, food that tastes good
smells good.
Or it smells like something, right?
Yeah, it does.
So if there's a whole room full of food and I'm in the room like, I don't smell nothing. Did y'all heat this food up? Is it cold? What's happening? Like, I don't smell anything,
that's
right?
That's gross.
Exactly.
Where's
so
your seasonings?
I'm looking at green beans. This is what I'm talking about. We talked about green beans on another Petty Peeve, and I got to talk about green beans again.
Please.
Because I know that there are people who struggle with all kinds of hypertensive issues.
Yeah.
Health is always a concern here at the Getting Grown podcast. We want you to live long and prosper. We're not coming for your blood pressure. But salt is requisite.
I mean, it just enhances the flavor of food.
If you don't have, okay, it doesn't matter. If you just dump a whole bunch of other seasonings on food that has not been salted, you waste the seasoning.
You need a little salt.
You have to have salt. Like, you have to.
Like, you don't salt to season.
You salt to enhance the seasoning that you already put on there. So this lady, I don't know, God bless her and all of her efforts. She presented these green beans to the table, to the room, and they looked wet versus cooked.
They were boiled.
I don't know what they were, but you just saw they looked like they were seasoned because you could see like black peppercorn. You could see like things in it.
Okay.
But when I tell you that they tasted like nothing.
Not a passing
no
thought of
thing.
Salt.
No thing. And I mean, you know, it came up in the conversation. I didn't bring it up, but it was just like, okay, so who made blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, I don't cook with salt. Then you don't cook, sis.
You don't cook.
You just heat up stuff
in pots.
And
I don't want to hear shit about your Mrs. Dash.
You just heat up stuff in pots. You don't cook. You do not cook. And if you don't cook with salt, that's your business. But if you put cooking for other people...
Put salt in
You got to put something in
or
there,
or at least
man.
Put it on the side and say, listen, I don't cook with salt, but here's some salt because I know it's going to need it.
Let me tell you something. This is what I'm going to do for y'all. If your company has not had that Thanksgiving potluck yet and you still got time, just don't go. Don't go. Or eat before the potluck so that you can say that you're not hungry.
Or if you're in the New York City area and your company needs to be catered, you may hit up fortheculturecatering@gmail.com. We got y'all.
I'm just saying, man. Somebody just like y'all got to get out of here with these soggy green beans. Y'all got to stop. I had one slice of ham because someone had the presence of mind to order a ham from the Honey Baked Ham store.
Thank God.
And I said, you know, I don't know who's responsible for this, but I'm going to find out and I'm going to shake your hand because had it not been for this ham, I would have not eaten anything at this place.
Usually the ham and the bread are the safest things.
Like, I'm going to tell you something. And they had what someone had labeled as stuffing.
Oh, no. That's one of those things you should never bring to a potluck.
But it was just so fair-skinned. I've never seen pale dressing.
Y'all didn't put no sausage in it?
They didn't put nothing in it. It was literally,
no
like, you know,
side.
Like the stuffing bags, like when you buy stuffing?
Oh, no.
They look like they literally just put some broth in that and may have baked it in the oven for 30 to 40
like
minutes.
Like a naked-ass box of Jiffy.
It was so... jarring. The mashed potatoes look like cauliflower. I was like, why is it crumbly? Why wasn't it smooth?
It probably was cauliflower.
But it needed, like, it should have been, like,
That's another thing. Save your fucking health stuff for something that's not the potluck. Don't bring your fucking cauliflower mashed potatoes to the potluck. Nobody cares about what you're trying to do on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't eat carbs. Well, guess what? We do. And nobody wants your cauliflower mash. What's the other thing that they do? What's the other mashed potatoes that they make? They do cauliflower. Is this another one?
I don't know.
Turnips. Is it turnips?
Well, I saw that lady on the cooking channel. You know, that's the tradition that Crystal and I have. We watch the Food Network and watch other people ruin Thanksgiving.
Of course.
Prior to the dinner that we
By bringing
will have.
Cauliflower and mashed potatoes. Oh.
But yeah, she like mixed up a bunch of turnips and rutabagas and like she just mixed all these root vegetables up to kind of stretch the potato and the mashed potatoes.
That's different.
But mashed potatoes are not a thing is in my house. We eat dressing. Like, not at Thanksgiving. Like, we have mashed potatoes.
You have to have one or the other?
Yeah, we don't have mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. I didn't grow up with mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving.
I grew up with every carb known to man.
Well, we had dressing all the time.
And
macaroni and cheese.
Potatoes, but and we didn't rice, have and potato salad,
nope.
and mac
we
and cheese.
We had potato salad and macaroni and cheese and dressing, but we did not have mashed potatoes. I understand that that's a thing for some people.
I love mashed potatoes.
I like them too, but it's just not been a Thanksgiving thing in my experience. So I'm not judging the mashed potatoes for being present. I am judging them for them for being horrible.
But. Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah, always judgment for your terrible mashed potatoes.
Oh, my word. But yeah, those. I think that wraps petty peeves.
That wraps up the petty peeves.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Don't ruin anybody else's.
Please.
If you can't cook, offer to bring the soda and the ice and a bottle of liquor.
Or just go get a patty pie. Won't yeah. nobody be mad?
Patty bring an eighth. Pie. I don't know. But like, don't. Sorry.
No, you didn't say. No, go ahead.
Just bring something that you won't ruin.
Bring some Pinot. There's so many things that you can bring. If you know that you cannot cook,
a patty pie does always suffice.
A patty pie is always sufficient. Or some ice cream. Or listen, help out. Offer to wash the dishes.
Yeah, come early. Bring plates.
You know what I'm saying? Like, ask what. But if you know that cooking is not your forte, if you know that that's not your gifting, your calling, the Lord did not bless your hands, do us all a favor, sis, and sit down.
And be the cousin that goes to take a walk with
listen,
me.
Listen, won't nobody be mad at you, girl? We will actually appreciate you.
The fact that you
celebrate
did not
your
jump
life
into something that wasn't your ministry.
Absolutely.
But y'all be blessed. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your turkey mm-hmm. day mm-hmm. and all of that that comes with it.
Yeah, just eat real good because, you know, Thanksgiving as a concept. As a concept that's celebrated in this country, it's problematic. But I give thanks to the Lord all the days of my life. And I'm just excited to just fellowship and commune with my friends and family and have amazing food.
Amen. 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 And, well, are we... So, Kia and I...
All right.
May not be here next week.
Well, we're figuring it out.
We're figuring it out. But where we will be
is
on the beach this weekend.
Okay, but we'll get into that. We'll let you guys know what's happening.
Yeah.
I also really quickly, before we end the show, I wanted to announce that the first function for Team Type and Fast is going down.
It's going down.
Okay, so we have a date on Friday, December 15th, mm-hmm. from 7 to 9 p.m., mm-hmm. We will be having an evening of insight with Dr. Kia.
Hey.
Y'all know that doctor thing is, you know, well.
Get over it.
Okay. So, yeah, it's an evening of insight with Dr. Kia. It will be an event for anybody who has work to do. So the criteria for Team Type and Fast, as I've stated before, is not that you be an academic or not that you be, you know, a lawyer or a writer or anything. In order to be on Team Type and Fast, you just have to have work to do mm-hmm. and to do the hell out of it.
Amen.
And I think for so many of us, you know, our productivity is often compromised by having to negotiate different things in our personal lives and in our identities and trying to figure out who we are. And if we get clear about our purpose and who we are and what we're doing and what we're about, we can literally sit down and accomplish anything.
Word.
So I'm hosting an event. As I'm moving forward with Team Type and Fast and other ventures in my life, I'm being very intentional about surrounding myself with wisdom and mentors and knowledge and people who can show me how to live the life that I want to live. And I want to share all of that with all the other members of Team Type and Fast. So I will be having a Team Type and Fast event where we will sit down and have conversation with a mentor of mine by the name of Dr. Sharon Friesbritt. She's a professor of higher education at the University of Maryland, College Park. Also a consultant who's consulted with different universities all across the world, an entrepreneur in her own right, and just an amazing woman, wife, mother, and just a person. And she's going to sit with us and have a conversation about who we are, what we're doing and where we're headed. And that's going to be Team Type and Fast, Type and Fast and Taking Care, D.C. It's going to be on December 15th in D.C. And all details are going to be available very soon. But you can get your tickets today.
We'll put the link in the description box.
The link will be in the description box.
And in honor of my sis's wonderful event.
Oh, my
gosh.
Which
I'm so excited and proud of her for.
Oh, my gosh.
I have created a cocktail.
Oh, my gosh. Jay will be our bartender.
Yeah.
She made us drinks.
Called Team Time and Fast.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to be a really good time. Come and soak up the knowledge. Soak it all up. And come say hello.
Come
I'm so,
say hi.
So proud of you.
Yes, we're going to have, in addition to this good insight and wisdom, we're going to have heavy appetizers. Mm. We're also going to have beverages furnished by the one and only Jade of All Jades. Hello. And we're hoping to have some swag and some great things for you. But it will be an awesome opportunity for like-minded academics, entrepreneurs, professionals, persons to come together and just, you know, do some talking and networking and idea sharing and encouraging and, you know, preparing in the personal space to do the work that we have been assigned to do, whatever that is. So I'm sorry. I'm really excited. So I'm sure that I'm jumbling and fumbling all over this. But all the information about what the event will be about will be included in the Eventbrite link. So everybody, if you can make it out, tickets will go on sale today. So get the tickets while they're hot. And hopefully, D.C. will be the first of others that we'll be able to have in other cities and things like that. So let me know if you have any questions, if there's any other information that I can provide you guys. But I would love it if you guys would hang out with me. And this one is very special to me, not only because it's the first one, but it's also 5 days before my birthday. So will kick off my birthday celebration. You guys, I will love you forever if you check it out and hopefully support. I will. I'm looking forward to see you all there.
What if a terrible person buys your ticket? Will you love them forever?
I will.
Because the Lord requires.
That's dope, because you said it. Stand in sin. Yay or yes mean yes.
I mean, I'm just saying. Love is manifested in many different things.
You're right.
Many different ways, I should say. But yeah, that's all we got to this week. I hope that you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening.
Thank you to Joy Marie McKenzie again for coming to the show.
We love you, girl.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure. And you guys make sure you get the engagement game. We're going to put the link in the description box. We're going to put the link for Kia's event in the description box. Make sure you come check out the Friend Zone Live next week.
Kia and I will be hosting. We will be hosting that.
Niggas is busy.
Wow. Come on here. Bookings.
What?
Okay.
Team moving fast.
All right.
In the meantime... It's a heavy food week, so make sure you drink your water.
Mind your business and moisturize, because your black will crack if it's dry.
Bye.
Peace.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.